Oh, so you wrote Ho for Show.
Yeah, I remember that girl. She was a hoe. For show.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this podcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this at a merch booth.
It's the Homemade Broadcast.
The what podcast?
The Homemade Broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade Broadcast.
The Homemade Podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here got homemade.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. Good day to you, Radio St. Pete and RadioSt.Pete.com. Maybe you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher. If you search for the Homemade Broadcast, one word, or maybe you're listening on HMBRadio.com. Those are all possibilities because that's where this stuff is. So maybe that's what you're doing. I don't know. How are you? My name's Will Kuntz. Host of this here program, The Homemade Broadcast. Best of the Bay nominated, mind you. That's right. My mom nominated me 500 times. And here I am. I'm in the running, people. So make sure you go vote until September 8th. So it's coming up very soon. Go put in Radio St. Pete for Best Radio Station. I don't know if technically they can win that because it's technically not a radio station. It's an online internet radio station. I don't know, but I know it's in the running. Creative Loafing didn't do a great job with, like, editing down these people that were nominated for things and putting them in the right categories, because there's a lot of things in the Best Podcast and Best Internet Radio Show, which the Homemade Broadcast is nominated in, that are not podcasts or internet radio shows. I know that they have a lot of things that they have to edit and such, but if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. Not to criticize Creative Loafing. I love Creative Loafing. They've been very good to me over the past year or so. So go do that. Go to HMB Radio. There's a banner there for Best of the Bay. Click that. Go vote for Radio St. Pete and the Homemade Broadcast. I would certainly appreciate it. I want to take home at least one of those. I got some stiff competition, man. We had Cindy Stovall from Beauty and the Berg who's nominated. She does a great podcast about St. Petersburg. You got Fisher and Cage who've been killing it, man. They've been, I don't know how exactly. I've talked to Johnny Griffin, their brand manager. But, I mean, I know that they've been in the business a long time, so they kind of have their own following. But I think they're up to like 25,000 downloads in a matter of months. So good for those guys. Happy for those dudes. But, yeah, so I got to do some comedy last night on the 27th. I was down at the Humidor series. The Cigar City comedy guys put on a event there every Thursday down in South Tampa at Wicked Witches. I got to open the show there. Nervous as hell, but man, I think I did pretty well. I'm pretty happy with how I did. My friend Julie and her fella Matt drove me down there. I smoked a bunch of cigarettes, which I am regretting today because my lungs feel like they're going to implode on themselves. And I hawked up a loogie today that was so graphic that I don't even want to begin to tell you what was in it. But it was a lot of different colors. So I'm paying the price today, and I just drank a Mountain Dew, so I'm amped. I'm ready to go. But last night was really fun, so thank you, Joe Riga. Was a closer last night, which I think he's going to come in and record a podcast tomorrow. Joe's a really funny dude. He tours around a bunch of different places around the country and locally here in Tampa, part of Cigar City Comedy. Matt Fernandez was on that show, too. Matt just seems like he's angry at everybody. I don't know what's going on with him. with the last few shows I've seen him in, he's just been like, screw this, and has left her left early at the stages. So I don't know what's going on with him, but it was fun. David Weingarten was there too. He's great. And I got to meet some new comics. Vinny Ward, who I'm sure will be in here at some point. Funny young man. I don't know if he's young, but he looks young. But I look young, so I don't know how old he is. But, yeah, I got to do that show with those dudes. This dude Ashley from New York, from Brooklyn. So, yeah, it was fun, man. I had a really good time, and I'm going to start getting back into doing stand-up more often. I don't really like to do it at my shows. I don't like to book a show and then be like, yeah, I'm going to be performing in this show. I don't know why. I don't have a reason why that bugs me, but I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me. I'm just being stupid. I don't know what to tell you. So, yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff happening in the homemade broadcast world. The mayor's office reached out to me to do an interview with Mayor Kreisman. I'm sorry, Mayor Rick. I'm probably pronouncing your name wrong. I will learn it before you come in. I got the email from the city the other day, so look out for that in the next coming weeks. I think Jesse Cage is coming in here from Fisher and Cage, or the FNK, I believe they're calling themselves now. Mr. Mike Calta from runs the best morning show in Tampa Bay. One of my idols is supposedly coming in. I think he's evoiding me right now. Evoiding with an E, because he's not answering any of my Snapchats right now. But he said he's coming in, so I'm sure he will eventually. So we got some good guests lined up. Joe Riga will probably be the guest next week. So I'm looking forward to it, man. But this week, we had Sarah Greenmore. Sarah is a legal, what did she call herself? She had a special terminology, but she works at the world-famous Bunny Ranch in Carson City, Nevada, which if you don't know what that is a legal brothel in Vegas or near Vegas out there. So she did an AMA on Reddit, and I found it, and it was really interesting. So, and then in the next few days, she was in The Independent, she was in Cosmopolitan, like all these news sites picked it up, and I emailed her, and she was nice enough to call in and talk to me. Now, I'm going to have to warn you that if you didn't know that I had no formal training in broadcasting, you will know after this interview. I broke the record for uhs and ums. I do it. I know I do it. It's a crutch. I'm trying to break it. But it was my first time using this Google voice thing where they call in, and I was looking at that, making sure everything was cool. So I was, my brain was two steps ahead of my mouth, and I couldn't speak. So there's a lot of uhs and ums. I apologize. I know it's terrible. So I'm working on it. All right? Cut me some slack. I'm learning as I go. That's why it's called the homemade broadcast. See that? Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, she was really great. And it's a really great interview. So I guess we could just get into it. So prepare yourselves. Let's start the interview with Sarah Greenmore, a concierge, I don't know what you called yourself, from the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Carson City, Nevada, busting some myths about sex work. So let's get into it. That was posted a few days ago, and you've had quite a few days since then.
Yeah, it's been about a week since I posted the AMA, and it just blew up. I did not expect to gather such a strong response from Reddit. I didn't know if Reddit would care, but I think it helps that I'm kind of cute. But it really exploded because I wanted to do the AMA because I saw that there was a lot of – I've always seen that Reddit talking really hurtful things about sex workers. Lots of dead hooker jokes and the like. But Amnesty International recently said that they wanted to push to decriminalize sex work across the board, across the world, because it would make the women or the men or whoever working in the industry, it would make them safer, which is absolutely true. And so I was seeing a lot of responses like, what would that even look like? Like, why do they need that? What does sex work even look like? And so I wanted to kind of give my kind of unique experience on it. And it was a huge, I'm totally forgetting the word, just like a huge response to it.
Yeah, it blew up. Were you approached to do that, or did you just, you know, kind of do that on your own? Or
no, I've been a Redditor for like 5 or 6 years, and I just kind of thought, hey, you know, like maybe somebody somewhere would kind of enjoy reading my opinions on things. So I just totally, just like I was, it was like a Wednesday afternoon, I think, and I was like, I'm just going to post the same thing, and it just exploded, and I had no idea it was going to get that kind of response.
I've seen, it's been a busy few days for you. I've been kind of researching you the past few hours, and you did a piece for, was it The Independent?
Yes, The Independent UK. I had one of their contributors contact me over Twitter, and he asked me to write an article. Yes, you know, 500-600 words. It ended up being almost 1,000. And an article about, you know, some misconceptions about sex work. And I'm always here to kind of clarify, you know, the positive side of sex work and the sides that, you know, people critique very harshly. And I just want to clear some things up.
It seems like most of the responses have been positive. Have you received any sort of backlash over the AMA?
I've always had, there's always going to be people who are going to be really rude and really mean, and they're going to say really hurtful things. But the thing is, it's like, they say like, oh, you're just whore, and you just like steal men's money, or like, it's, get a job, get an education. And I mean, if I don't have a job, I really like to talk to the IRS because I could get a lot of my money back.
That's right.
But, I'm really self-assured, and I know that what I'm doing is best for me, and it also really benefits my clients. People don't really think that our clients, they think that maybe they're just kind of creeps, or they're losers, or they're fat and ugly. But I mean, I've had some really attractive clients, and I've also had clients that, you know, just needed human intimacy. People with Asperger's syndrome, men who have recently been widowed or divorced that want intimacy. I don't think that's wrong to seek that out. I don't think it's wrong to pay for that either.
No, I mean, I've always been kind of fascinated with it. I don't really have any experience with it. One of my favorite things to do, though, if I have some free time alone at night, is to browse Backpage. It's fascinating just to see what's on there. Now I'm too much of a coward to ever do anything like that. I don't have anything, so it's not like they could rob anything from me, but it's a risky thing, you know, for guys too, who participate in the illegal sex trade. I mean, I think the focus, and rightfully so, is probably towards women's safety in that scenario. But I mean, you never know. I've heard horror stories about guys that have went and then got jumped and got beat up, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely, it can happen. And that's the thing that keeps everybody safe, is decriminalization and legalization. But with decriminalization, not only can the women go to the police to say they're robbed or they're beat or they're raped, so can the clients. There's client protection in that too. So if you got robbed by a sex worker, you could have the police track them down and, you know, press charges. Right now, both of you would be getting in a lot of trouble. So I think that's important for people to look at the fact that it's always gone on and it always will. And to continue to keep it in the shadows not only harms the sex workers, but it also keeps the clients. They don't want to do something illegal. They don't want to get in trouble. Like last year, there was that huge controversy that sportscaster lost his job because he got caught with a call girl after the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And so he, like, his whole life got ruined because he wanted to have an easy lay. And so I don't think it has to be like that, though. And I think that if you look at it, if you look at the positives of decriminalization or legalization versus keeping it completely unregulated in the black market, I think you'd see that there's a lot of positives that can come from this.
Absolutely. And that was actually Warren Sapp, a longtime Tampa Bay Buccaneer, who lost his job over that. And I think a good example of this is, for some reason, the morality police is always the big thing that thump around. Oh, I don't know of any case where things being made illegal has done anything except create a black market for it. If you look at the war on drugs, for instance, it has made the cartels in Mexico billionaires. And it's not going to stop people from doing drugs just because they're illegal. We have one of the highest prison populations in the world. I think it actually might have the most millions of people, and most of them are for drug cases. And the other thing I've heard of is people that have domestic disputes, you know, that may have prior records, and they get in fights with their significant other. And then they forget that they have a restraining order on them. They make up, and then they come back in a couple years because they got in another fight. And then they don't realize they have a restraining order on them, and they go to prison for that. Those are the two big things of why people are locked up in this country. It's ridiculous. So, Sarah, how did you find this work? Were you participating in illegal prostitution before the Bunny Ranch, or how did you get to the Bunny Ranch?
Well, I was. I have. Let's start way back in the mid 2000s. I was a very horny teenager. And I used to stay up very late at night, and I would watch the Cat House TV series. And they always say, like, change the channel if you're not 18, but I was always, whatever. I grew up in kind of like a repressed sexual household. It wasn't talked about. When my mother found out that I lost my virginity, she was very upset with me, and she asked if I had given a blowjob, and I was like, yes. And she was like, you know that men pee from there, right? Like, it was just kind of my household, I didn't ever see my parents intimate, even kissing, really. So for me, seeing these women on the cow show and seeing them help fulfill people's fantasies, seeing them with, you know, physically or sometimes clients with autism, seeing them with clients who, you know, requested their services, seeing that they were having so much fun and they were free sexually and they were, you know, they didn't really care and they were totally, they owned their sexuality. And I just found that really inspiring as a teenager who didn't have any kind of support like that or any kind of semblance of normal human sexuality. And so I had the most insane sex drive growing up. And so as soon as I turned 18, I got my 18th birthday, I got on webcam and stripped for thousands of people on Adult Friend Finder. I immediately was trying to escort and do the sugar daddy dating thing. I did work outside of a brothel for several years, just kind of here and there, random spurts of escorting or doing foot fetish or pro dom, selling my used underwear through the mail. And so just like a whole bunch of different things. I kind of dipped my fingers in every aspect of sex work to try and figure out what it was I liked the best and what could bring me the best financial stability. And I was also going to school for cosmetology. I was an esthetician and a nail technician for almost 5 years. I worked in really nice day spas in Oregon. I just didn't feel like I enjoyed my work as much as I enjoyed my part-time job, which was sex work. And I was always wondering, like, what would it take to just work my part-time job full-time? What would that be like? What could it be like to work one day and then take a week off? That would be awesome. What would it be like if I could make my rent in an hour? That would be incredible. Like, I always had this fantasy of being able to be completely financially stable, but still feel like I was doing a job that I felt true to myself in. And so I had heard about the Bunny Ranch for like 10 years, and I had always heard about it, seen it in the news, read about it, but there's not much online if you want to go work there. Like, how do I get involved in that? What do I do? So I realized you just have to, like, send your photos off, and you get the yay or nay. And so the company I was working for filed for Chapter 11, and I was really frustrated because I was serving really, really, really – it was in one of Oregon's most rich suburbs, and they were just, like – they treated us like scum. And so I just, like, really just, like, had to get out of Oregon, and I needed a change, and I wanted to go on an adventure. So the Bunny Ranch said yes, and so I went and I worked for Dennis Down at one of his houses, which is about 90 minutes northwest of Las Vegas, and I worked there from April until December. And then he promoted me, essentially, because I did so well. He promoted me to Bunny Ranch in January, and it's just been the most incredible experience so far. It's I was really nervous to try it out. I didn't know what it would really look like, but it's really fit my lifestyle really well. The money is incredible. And the community that surrounds the brothel is also really interesting and really cool. It's kind of like working in a sorority house, and everyone's in lingerie, and everyone is constantly making penis jokes. So it's great.
It sounds fun. It sounds like what I do with my friends, pretty much. So it sounds pretty good. So you are, is the Cat House show still on? I know that's that. I think that was like in the 90s, right?
It was in, I think they started 2005, and I think they ended filming in 2011. And so there were several seasons, but they do not film anymore. I wish they would come back, because there is such an amazing group of girls right there right now, and we all have such a fun time together. And there's, like, crazy stuff that happens all the time that you wouldn't. It's like, we need this on TV. The other day, I was finished with a client, and I was trying to zip up my dress, but I couldn't get up all the way. I knocked on my neighbor's door. I said, "Stacy, can I come in?" She's like, "Yeah." Turns out she was with a client, though. It was the very beginning of their appointment. And I was like, "Oh, no, I'm sorry." And he's like, "Oh, she's cute." And I joined them for a threesome just on the spot. And so it's like stuff that you wouldn't ever think that happens totally happens there. And, like, we get all kinds of, like, insane clients and, like, hilarious bachelor parties, and just, like, there's so much fun stuff going on at the Bunny Ranch all the time. Cat House show needs to come back. I would love to see it come back. I would love to be on the HBO show, but no, unfortunately, they don't film anymore.
Well, you are doing a YouTube podcast, right? From the Bunny Ranch.
Yes, we do the YouTube podcast. It's broadcast live every Saturday on Ustream, and then we upload it later. It's basically like an interview show each week. We just talk and kind of give each other questions and talk about, we take user questions from the Ustream chat, answer each other's questions, etc. And then every single house that Dennis owns does one of those podcasts. So there's six of them done each weekend. So people can tune in and watch the ladies from each house have fun and answer questions. And some of them are really creative. I know I've done ones where we used the Sibian and tried out each other's sex toys and had a blast doing that. And we'd play, like, strip poker, all kinds of fun stuff.
That sounds fun. I mean, maybe that will lead to something over time. Podcasting is a new revolution. It's going to open up a lot of doors for people, I think.
Yeah.
So on your site, I was having dinner with my friend today, and I was telling her about you, and I was going to interview you, and she's heavily into women's rights, and she was inquiring whether you consider yourself a pro-sex feminist, because there's go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was going to interrupt you, I was going to say, absolutely, I'm pro-sex feminist.
Because there's a battle in that community, in the feminist community, of I think probably a lot of the backlash you probably receive is probably from a lot of feminists, and then probably a lot of the praise that you get are from those people too, on the other side, because there's this pro-sex and anti-sex. The more extreme ones think that it's, I guess, like a form of, no matter what, you're still at the will of the man, and that's the crux of it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we call them sex work exclusionary radical feminist, SWERF, SWERF for short. It's a really awesome acronym. And so they basically SWERF have said some of the most disgusting things I've ever read, more disgusting than any client has ever said to me. They tell me that I'm a piece of meat and that I'm bought and sold. They tell me that I have sold my soul and I've sold my body. They tell me that no matter what, everything I do is engaging in human trafficking and is basically, by me working in a brothel or by me doing sex work, I am making it socially acceptable to traffic children and making it okay for people to rape children. And they just say some of the most heinous things, and anyone with an even slight sense of human decency wouldn't say those things, but they don't really care. They don't really seem to mind that they are throwing an entire group of people under the bus. And sex workers aren't it's like sex workers aren't exclusively women. Sex workers can be men, they can be transgender, they could be non-binary, they could be whoever they could be whoever they want to be. And so by sex workers saying, oh, this man, he comes in, he you sell your body to him, my clients aren't all men. My clients can be women, they can be couples, they can be whoever. And so they take this one very narrow-minded look at sex work, and they try to apply that to everything. But the thing is, if they listen to us, if they listen to what sex workers want and what we need, they might be able to provide that for us. They're tired of human trafficking. Then separate sex workers and human trafficking victims and survivors. Don't lump us into one group, because the sex workers aren't working under coercion or under trafficking. We're working independently to provide for ourselves. We can have food on our tables. Give the trafficked victims all of your attention. Don't be mad at me when I'm over here working legally or even illegally. I'm an adult. My client is an adult. We're doing consensual activities in a private space. Why should that be such an issue?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I think the biggest thing for me, which makes the most sense, that I mean, pornography is filmed prostitution, but that's perfectly legal. And that's the big, I don't understand why people can't get over that. They're cool with that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that aren't cool with that, but it just is. It's just very confusing.
I think that Lena Dunham, no, not Lena Dunham. Okay, cross that out. Lisa Ann, the porn star, she had posted a video on YouTube talking about what is the difference between prostitution and pornography and porn stars. And she really threw, there's a term in the sex work vernacular called the whorearchy. Okay, so there is a porn star, and her name is Lisa Ann, and she did a video on YouTube that was trying to describe the difference between prostitution and pornography, and she really threw full-service sex workers, under the bus, and basically said that we were selfish because we did things in private. And so, and that she wasn't selfish because she does like shows at strip clubs and she does marketing and she gives many different people jobs. She gives the directors a job. She gives the makeup artists a job. She gives all the production and post editing a job. She gives, the people renting their homes out to these pornographic studios income. She basically listed all of these different reasons why her soul image gives all these other people income, and that by sex workers being private, it's a one-on-one transaction. Sometimes it's a one-on-two, you know, if there's multiple people, multiple clients or multiple providers, there's multiple people in the transaction. However, it's really just a very private industry. There's not a lot of promotion. There's not a lot of, you know, like outside industry. We're not having strip club nights. We're not going out and renting out pool parties or being VIP hosts at pool parties. We want to stay kind of out of the public eye. And so Lisa Ann basically said that because prostitution, because sex work is so one-on-one, it's very selfish. And I think a lot of people, not necessarily on the economic side, but I think a lot of people do think it's selfish. And I think that a lot of women especially think it's selfish. Of course, everyone would like to get paid to have sex. That would be a dream, wouldn't it? Because people, for the most part, love sex and for the most part love money. And who wouldn't love those two things combined? But I think people get jealous and they get upset that there's someone out there who could make their month's salary in one appointment or two appointments, or could make double or triple their year salary in just a few months. And so I think that a lot of people are angry that this work is, in a sense, so easy to do. and can make so much money at it. And I think that's a big reason why people are so against it.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Sarah Greenmore. Sarah is a, what do you call yourself, a concierge at the Bunny Ranch down in Carson City, Nevada. What's your official title?
I like courtesan.
Courtesan?
Yeah, courtesan.
I like it. It sounds French. I don't know what it means, but I'll roll with it. So how does this, I would imagine this work, I mean, you live a different lifestyle than people work in the regular 9-to-5 thing. How does this affect your, like, relationships? Do you have a boyfriend? Have you managed to, like, keep romantic relationships?
Yeah, I had, we recently decided to end our relationship. I had a boyfriend for over 3.5 years. And he was also a sex worker, which probably helped and in some senses didn't help at all. But I think that sex workers can absolutely maintain positive human relationships. I know a lot of women in the brothel who are married, who have long-term boyfriends, who have children, who have really positive relationships with their families. I have met a lot of my sex work friends, you know, significant others or some of their extended family. And everybody that I've met supports the worker 100%. It's work that works for us. It's what works best for us and our lifestyle and the way that we want to live. If I want to work a 9-to-5 and make minimum wage, that's fine. You do that. If you want to work a 12 or 14 hour shift and make way more than minimum wage, but you're having sex with people, do that. Do that if you want to do that. I think the sex workers kind of get thrown into, like, I think sex workers get a little bit dehumanized, and I think that it's easy for people to dehumanize us. And I think that that kind of makes it easy to, like, say that we maybe came from messed up families or we have drug problems or we can't maintain positive relationships because we're somehow broken or we're, you know, faulty as people, because who would choose to have sex for a living? Like, who would do that? Somebody, they have to be really messed up. They have to have issues. And so I think that that's one of the big things that people have to say is, like, can you have normal relationships? Absolutely, you can have normal relationships, just like any other worker. I think that people, the more that we talk, the more that sex workers talk about our lives and, you know, our interactions with our families or our significant others, I think that people will see that we're just like any other person and we're just like them, that we have, maybe I did come from like a bad family, but, you know, in this day and age, who didn't have divorce in their family or family issues? Who didn't grow up with somebody whose parents got divorced or somebody whose parents had drug issues or somebody who had drug issues themselves? I don't think that having those issues necessarily makes it so that you're more likely to become a sex worker or not. I just think that, you know, sex workers are human and humans have those issues innately.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's people that come from broken homes and have daddy issues that answer phones at a call center. So I don't think it's inherent.
Exactly.
It's inherent in that type of work. What's your favorite part of the job and your least favorite part of the job?
My favorite part of the job is definitely my interaction with my clients. And I had a client who came because he saw the Reddit AMA. He was in Vegas for a boys' weekend, and it was really easy for me to arrange. He bought a ticket to Reno. There, it's less than an hour away from Vegas, so it's a really quick flight. I arranged for our driver to come pick him up free at the airport. He came, he met Dennis, and he was incredibly nervous. He had never been to a sex worker before. He'd never been to a bunny ranch before. He was meeting me for the first time and anticipating sex with me, and he was just incredibly anxious. And so he had such an amazing time, though, and we got to connect on a really genuine level. We had really similar kind of childhoods. We were both super nerdy, kind of outcasts, really lonely. And so we got to connect through that. We got to talking, and it just calmed him down to know that I was a real genuine person. And he wrote me the most amazing review about how liberating it was and how much he was able to get off his chest, and how I, for him, in those several hours, have done more for his confidence and more for his sense of self than many people he's known for years. I think that's the power of these interactions with our clients. They are extremely therapeutic. They can be somewhat of a spiritual connection at times. I've had clients that have had, it's a real energy transfer, and I give my all in my appointments to make sure that my clients are having a good time, but also if they need me emotionally, I'm there for them as a soundboard or to offer advice, relationship advice, sexual advice. My relationship with my clients is my absolute favorite part of my job. Making people feel good about themselves is number one. It takes away the things that my clients say afterwards, after our appointment. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. This was absolutely what I needed, and I didn't even know it. Those things completely erase all of the negativity that I hear online or in person. I know that what I'm doing is important and it's needed, so that is my absolute favorite part of my job. The least favorite part of my job is probably the really invasive and really disgusting questions I get asked, like, have you been raped? How much drugs do you need to get through your job? Like, why do you do this? Don't you, like, hate this? Like, if people could understand, like, where I'm coming from, that I just want to be a sexual healer, and I want to be, like, almost like I'm a therapist, and I also might touch your wiener. Like, that is kind of where I'm coming from. Like, that's my job. And to hear people just, they can read the article, but they don't understand anything of what I've been saying. They can't comprehend of why you would want to do this job. And it does take a very special person to want to do sex work, but I think that it's an important service that we do provide.
Absolutely. Sarah Greenmore from the Bunny Ranch in Carson City, Nevada is on with me right now. A few more questions for you before I let you go. One of the ones I had, my question was, I'm 30 years old. I just turned 30 not too long ago, and I've been thinking about retirement. What do you have planned for? Does the Bunny Ranch offer a 401k or something like that?
Well, happy birthday. And no, the Bunny Ranch does not offer a 401k, but we do have a private banker from Wells Fargo. He handles all of the girls' accounts. We love Wells Fargo. They are so nice to us. And so we absolutely have somebody on staff who will answer all of our financing questions. He helps us set up credit cards, helps us get auto loans. He can help with home loans. Because we are independent contractors and we do have such a varied income source from day to day or month to month, he really helps us out in that sense. But all of the financial stability, that all comes from you. And so it's really up to you to put your money in the savings and not buy 5 Chanel handbags. There's a lot of girls that come in and they've never had money like this. They've never made multiple thousands of dollars a day. And to have this money so suddenly, a lot of them don't have those financial skills and do just spend it all. And then they quit a few months or maybe a few years later. They have nothing to show for it. So it's all into you and how you save your money, how you invest your money, how responsible you are with the money that you're making. Because not everybody's going to work this job for 10, 15, 20 years. Like, there have been women that still work at Bunny Ranch that started in the 90s or started in the early 2000s. They still work there, and they do incredible. But not everybody's going to do that. So I think it is important. I don't currently have any savings. I just moved into an apartment. I just bought a car. I took, like, a month-long European vacation. So I need to learn a little bit of financial responsibility, but at the same time, I plan on being with Bunny Ranch for many, many years to come, and I'm sure I'll pick up some of those financial skills as I go.
Yeah, right on. I'm telling you, start saving now. I wish I would have started 10 years ago. But I guess, well, one of my questions was, what is your plan for the future? Do you plan on doing this for, you know, 20, 30 years? And how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Not at all. I am 24 currently, and I definitely do plan on doing this for, when I first started, I was like, oh, I'll just do it for a few years. And now I'm, like, creating this brand for myself, and I'm creating this client base that is just, like, infatuated with me, and I am just, I have this, not the same feelings, but I have adoration for them because I know I'm helping them. And so I plan on doing this for as long as I can, really. I love my job, and not a whole lot, not everybody can say that. And after sex work, after I stopped taking private appointments, I would love to write a book. I would love to do a TV show. I would love to do radio interviews. I would love to steal Dan Savage's job and have an advice column. I would love to do a lot of different things, public speaking, sex health awareness, sex workers' rights, advocacy, anything still involved in the sex industry. That's kind of my calling. I've always just been interested in human sexuality, psychology, sexual health. That's always been my main focus. Even when I was in high school, I did projects, political action workshop class, and I got condom dispensers in my school, my high school, and that was like a half of a year. It took me to do this big project and to look at the costs associated with it, to speak with the school board, to do all these different things, but it was something I believed in really passionately, and so I've always just been a really passionate person, and if I put my mind to something, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to stick with it. So Bunny Ranch and me are going to be good buddies for a long time.
Well, that's great, Sarah. It sounds like you're well on your way. I really enjoyed the AMA. It was very insightful, and I think you taught some things to some people, hopefully, and got it through some people's heads. Not talking about it is not going to make it go away, and making things illegal does not make it go away either. Do you have any social media where people can find you?
Absolutely. I have a lot of different social media. You can find me on Twitter at Sarah Greenmore, SarahGreenmore. I also have a Tumblr where I post kind of like snarky stuff or lots of pictures of my butt, different kind of my opinions on things. People can ask me questions on Tumblr as well really easily. My Tumblr is sarahxgreenmore.tumblr.com. I also have Instagram, which is brand new for me. I'm just trying to figure it out. But that's what most of the young people are on these days, so I should probably hop on it. And that's Sarah Greenmore as well. So, or Sarah X Greenmore as well. And then I also have an email address for anyone who'd like to get into contact with me directly. It is sarahgreenmore@bunnyranch.com.
Very good, Sarah. I'm going to find you on Instagram. I'm trying to get on. I just started using Snapchat, too, which I'm having so much fun with. It's crazy.
I love Snapchat.
All right. Hey, Sarah, thanks for coming, and please, or phoning in anyways, and let's do this again soon sometime.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for having me, Will.
All right. There you go, Sarah. Sarah Greenmore from the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Busting some myths, y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed that. She's a really articulate young lady. I thank her for calling in. And hopefully we will do that again soon at some point. So go find her. Follow her on social media. I'll post some links to her stuff. Thank you, Slybar, for sponsoring the podcast. 2061 Central Avenue, facebook.com/SlybarSt. 2061 Central Avenue, comedy open mic every second and fourth Tuesday. Make sure you find us there. Check more information at HMB Radio or facebook.com/TheHomemadeBroadcast. Thank you, Angelo's, providing the pizza for us at the open mics, 536 First Avenue North, stpizza.com, stpeteza.com. Thank you very much. Go vote for Best of the Bay. Vote for the Homemade Broadcast. All right, that's it. My name's Will Kuntz. Thank you very much. Talk to you next week, probably with Joe Riga or someone else. Someone cool, maybe the mayor. Maybe Mike Calta, maybe Jesse Cage. Hope one of those, anyways, will be on. So I'll talk to you then. Take care. See ya.